Spirit. Revelation speaks of reigning, of ruling. The Lamb rules, God rules. The kings and priests ransomed by the Lamb's blood reign on the earth. The book announces the work of Christ's reign or rule in heaven and his preservation of the church and the judgment of his enemies. Meanwhile, back on earth, your president rules. A brash and apparently unstable man rules in North Korea. Terrorists deform rule by trying to overthrow it. Here it is not quite the harmonious picture of the heavenly throne room. We have plenty of resentment or fear of those who rule over us. A government's incompetence and dereliction threaten to overthrow a less than stable economic system. And this is not just a system, but it is the economy in which you live. It is the economy in which your already modest pastor's salary will be eroded by inflation, taxation, disruptions to healthy economic buying, selling, and giving. This is the tumultuous economic world into which you are about to embark. You live also under the masses crying out for all kinds of evil and wickedness and debauchery, the latest of which, so-called homosexual marriage. And the ramifications of this go beyond the obvious evil. For example, will the government try to force you to perform marriages for such couples? What does this say in general about your role as one who serves the government in performing marriages? Will your sermons be designated hate crimes? Now, as Lutherans, we are catechized to confess our sins and not the sins of others. We are called to consider our hearts, to repent of our sin. And yet the Bible reminds us that sometimes affliction comes from outside of us. How long, O Lord, the psalmist cries, will you forget me forever? This is Jesus' prayer, to be sure, but it is also the prayer that he gives to you, for Revelation reminds us that the Lamb has conquered, our sin is forgiven, and yet we are afflicted by the rulers of this age. Revelation also reminds us that above all, and in spite of what we see with these eyes, the Lamb does indeed reign, and he has not forgotten us forever. The Lamb reigns in heaven, to be sure, and it is not to be overlooked that he also reigns on earth. Even on this earth, which is poised for economic overthrow and already embraces debauchery, the Lamb reigns. He is worthy to bring to fruition the divinely written scroll, the scroll which unfolds the destiny of the world. You too partake in this reign of the Lamb on earth. Although this reign is hidden from earthly eyes, you have been made a kingdom and priests to our God, and you reign on the earth. Revelation is not so much a book about the future as a book that depicts the divine service of God. It is not the divine service of the future, but the divine service now, the divine service that we celebrate even as we await the visible return of our Lord. It is the reigning act of the Lamb in his church on earth as well as in heaven. God dwells with men, and wherever God and men are together, there is worship and divine service. The sacrifice of atonement stands in the midst, alive after having been slain, having made reconciliation between God and men. The sacrifice of praise and prayer and thanksgiving is also there. Harps accompany the singing of God's praise, and incense accompanies the prayer of his people. A new song is sung in this moment, a new song of the Lord, proclaiming his gracious presence and the exaltation he has accomplished of his people. You were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. This is the divine service of God, of our Lord Christ. This is what is happening while you partake of the divine service on earth. The Lion Lamb stands in your midst, having made reconciliation between you and your Father. And your Father favors you. He receives your new song of praise, and he hears your prayers. Here in heaven, we see this royal proclamation, the scroll, written front and back, sealed with the seals of a divine king, a royal proclamation which unfolds the Father's desire for his people, his desire for the church, his desire for you. This proclamation of recreation brings forth a new heaven and new earth, resurrected life without sin, life in which your enemies are brought to destruction under the wrath of God. This is the divine proclamation of life, held forth by the right hand of God, waiting for the one who is at his right hand to take it, unfold it, and promulgate it. The Lamb Lion is your king. He is worthy, he alone is worthy to issue and promulgate this royal decree. He is the king, the root of David, of the tribe of Judah, the one who has conquered. He is a divine king, God's son. He is a human king, the fulfillment of the command to Adam to have dominion. He is born of a woman, the root of David, one who has conquered over the earth, subdued it, and subdued its false ruler by ascending the cross and conquering through this suffering and conquering also through his obedience. By his blood, the kingdom is established. By this blood, he ransomed people from every tribe and language and people and nation. By this blood, he filled the earth with people who praise him. So perhaps there is something for us to repent of, to repent of a lack of faith when we despair, when we forget, when we do not see that our Lamb Lion rules in our midst, even as he rules in heaven. You are afflicted, but your Lamb saves you. The reign of earthly principalities falters. It seems, indeed, that the economy will fail, indeed, that it should have failed months or years ago, and someday it will. Someday all earthly kingdoms will be brought to an end. But for now, the reign of the Lamb upholds things for a while. According to his will, according to his mercy, he is faithful to us. He is gracious even with our faulty human institutions. And for now, he spares us from the destruction of Sodom, although our sins are greater than Sodom's. He is merciful in establishing for us peace. When there is tumult, hardship, poverty, and persecution, he still rules on our behalf. Only the eyes of faith see that the divine service is true rule, that to partake of the divine service is to be ruled by, to be protected by, to be forgiven by, to be strengthened in the new life of the Lamb. Only the eyes of faith see that life is deeper, greater, and goes beyond the failing world before us. Repent when you see only what is of this earth. Repent and be forgiven, for you receive the eyes of faith just as his seven spirits go forth. They come to you to give you those eyes of faith. Hear also of the priestly imagery. His death is not only a death of a kingly warrior, but it is sacrificial and atoning. Not only is he worthy to approach the throne to take the scroll, but he makes worthy all those around him, the 24 elders, the four living creatures, and the myriads and myriads of the people ransomed who fall down before the throne to sing the new song. All these are made worthy by his sacrifice. And the pure incense of our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving is made worthy. While multitudes around you embrace debauchery, the Lamb waits patiently, calling for repentance, hoping for repentance, bearing with these great sins, with your sins and the sins of the world, for a little while until all the elect are saved. The sin around you tempts you to distress and despair. How long, O Lord? And yet this sin surrounded the Lamb and took him not only to distress, but to hell. Sins of the earth, sins also that you commit, drove him deep, and yet he persevered in faith, knowing that he would be justified. And now, having been vindicated and raised, he calls you also to perseverance, a perseverance that he grants you by his life, a long suffering in the face of sin. He does not leave you alone. He does not leave you as orphans. He sends his Spirit. He rules and reigns in his church by his divine service. The Good Shepherd, our sacrificial lamb, he is also our King and our great High Priest. His care, his sacrificial atonement, his gentle and indomitable rule, his intercession are continually accomplished before the heavenly throne. And yet you receive this heavenly divine service under the signs of baptism, of word, of bread and wine. The Lamb is your King and your Priest, and because you are his, he has made you kings and priests. He rules over heaven and earth, and he has given for you to rule and to intercede on earth and for the earth. He rules and intercedes through his sacrifice and ransoming of the nations. You rule and intercede by proclaiming his praises, by singing the new song, by receiving his gifts with thanksgiving, and offering your intercessions and supplications on behalf of the world to God. It appears, perhaps, that you submit to persecutions, but you reign through the Lamb. It appears that you suffer the oppression of the devil, but you reign through the Lamb. It appears that you will return to a dusty grave, but you reign already on earth through the heavenly reign of the Lamb. It appears that the heathen of the world will be lost, yet you intercede for them as their priests, with prayers rising as incense before the great High Priest and the one who sits on the throne. Receive the reign of the Lamb and offer your sacrifices of thanksgiving. The world has been given to you. It is not owned by the princes of this world. It is yours. Meek, you have inherited the earth. In the divine service, the Beatitudes are fulfilled. In this divine service, you reign on earth, and you reign in priestly service for the world. In Jesus' name.